shock announcement from the Greek prime minister. Let's put the bailout and the cuts to a popular vote.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The prime minister of Greece will ask his citizens to vote on whether they want to accept the tough measures the country has to accept to get more bailout money. That puts the grand plan that was unveiled last week to solve the European debt crisis in doubt. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
60% of the Greek people, according to the opinion polls, oppose the second bailout plan because it entails another 100,000 job losses in the public sector and big pension cuts. To ask the people directly in a referendum whether this is what they want seems like political suicide. But Greek journalist Martina Stevas says the prime minister is facing so much opposition he's decided to take a high-risk gamble.
He's saying this is the deal. I believe it's the best deal we can get. If you don't like it, you can vote against it in this referendum. If you do like it, vote in favour of it and stop complaining.
The referendum is likely to be in January. If the Greek people vote no, that could lead to a disorderly default and Greece's ejection from the Eurozone. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, from a popular vote to a very popular president who was in office 50 years ago. I'm talking about John F. Kennedy, a liberal icon whose economics were anything but liberal. Here to talk about that with us is Chris Matthews from MSNBC's Hardball. His new book, Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero, is out today. Chris Matthews, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, we know about Kennedy as a visionary, a foreign policy president. What was his economic legacy?
Well, it was surprising because this is one area where Republicans of the supply side school have championed his legacy. He really did subscribe to Keynesian beliefs that the government needed to stimulate the economy. And of course, he believed in the space program for all kinds of reasons, that being one of them. He believed in a big defense buildup. For that reason, too. He thought they'd all help produce jobs. And he did, in 1963, come out for a tax cut. Now, the irony of that time was that business opposed it. They were very much fiscalists in those days, and they wanted to get the budget deficit down, even though it was rather modest by today's terms. So, ironically, he was, at the time, perceived to be a liberal with policies today which are perceived to be conservative.
Yeah, he was critical, you write, of the New Deal and Franklin Roosevelt's economics, saying, quote, they put emphasis on rights rather than responsibilities.
That is so Jack Kennedy. And I think that it's hard to put a ideological tag on that kind of thinking, but he really believed in individual responsibility. In fact, the ask not exhortation in the inaugural was about individual people doing something, not asking for relief or welfare or some kind of pork barrel. It was about doing something yourself and for your country. And I think that was really him. And I don't know what kind of a tag you can put on that.
Do you think that he understood the troubles that ordinary Americans went through? This guy was a war hero, a Harvard graduate, born into a very powerful family.
I think he understood the irony of life's unfairness. I think he certainly knew he was born to privilege. In fact, remember that great line in his first race for Congress when all the other fellows who had not fought in the war, and he had, and that was, of course, his great strength in that campaign. It was a khaki election, as they said back in the Boer War days. I mean, he was running as a returned serviceman. He said, I guess I'm the only one here that didn't come up the hard way.
What do you think today's politicians on both sides can learn from Jack Kennedy?
Wow, guts. Be a war hero. Be a something of an intellectual, a reader of history. Have the perspective of your times, but also what came before. I think being honest with the people and about your own mistakes. Jack Kennedy was essentially a patriot. And that's why I think most Republicans look back on him as not just their favorite Democrat, probably their favorite American president.
Chris Matthews, author of Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in overseas trading this morning, down 2.06% right now in London and down 3.5% in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tumbled 276 points to close at 11,955, but the month of October saw the biggest monthly percentage gain for the Dow since 2002.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com.
Starting today, Coca-Cola is launching white cans as opposed to just the usual red. That'll help raise money for polar bears, which have been unofficial spokes bears for Coke since the 1990s. But as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, it's not all about those cuddly polar bears.
The icons have huge value for Coke.
Easily tens of millions of dollars.
Peter Madden is a branding expert with the agency Agile Cat. This holiday, Coca-Cola is still focusing on polar bears, but this time it's all about real-life bears and their changing Arctic habitat. Katie Bain is the president of sparkling beverages at Coke.
Kind of what we think big iconic brands can and should do is point out things that matter.
It might seem a risky transition to associate soda with the plight of the polar bear, but Matt Schechner from Advertising Week says it's not the case at all. He thinks consumers will follow along and associate Coke with doing good for the environment.
I think what the polar bears offer Coke an opportunity to sort of connect three things.
The head, the heart, and ultimately, he says, the wallet. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, to New York City, 79th Street on the Upper East Side, to be exact. That's where Mayor Michael Bloomberg lives. And apparently, he's famous for giving out full-size candy bars at Halloween, not just the little bite-sized ones. But last night, according to the New York Times, the candy giver-outer at the mayor's house, who was dressed up as Elmo, was giving out the same old mini Kit Kats and Tootsie Rolls that you might get at a common millionaire's house. Still, the candy was all given out to trick-or-treaters, $1,000 worth, according to police. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Trees come down, beer prices go up, even fires get a little hotter and a little faster in an election year.
From the point of view of a fireman, he's going to have a much more difficult year if it's an election year.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Elections and their strange side effects. It's what? Yes, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.